Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Israel, for the United States. I want this to be the best year ever for Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, his friends and family, Rabbi Eric Greenberg, his friends and family. And we all want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, our family, and loyal listeners worldwide. And that means
Joyce,
you.
Barry, and Friends, the number one radio show. You might be wondering why this is so. Memorable quotes, life lessons, and so much more. The Coach's Corner will make you soar. All outstanding guests that we love to feature. You will find the show to be the best teacher. Great authors like Ted Siuba and Bernie Siegel. Awesome leaders that soar like an eagle. Beverly Nadler with Here's to Your Health. Home business opportunities to increase your wealth. Kurt's impersonation and improvisation add to the show's transformation. Broadcasting live across America and around the globe with timely topics and issues to probe. The chat room is always fun. We see your comments and appreciate each one. Want to change your life? Change your approach.
And hire me, Coach Joyce, to be your life coach. So there you go, folks. We're ready for a great show today with two awesome guests. We are so honored, privileged to have with us today Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, the Executive Vice President for the New York Board of Rabbis, and Rabbi Eric Greenberg, Director of Public Affairs for Synagogue Connect and also the Center for Interreligious Understanding. Both of them are on our show today. We'll lead off with Rabbi Potasnik, and of course Rabbi Eric can join in to comment, share at any time, and then Rabbi Potasnik will be followed by Rabbi Eric Greenberg. Rabbi Potasnik, one of his claims to fame is he introduced me to Rabbi Greenberg. So starting with you, Rabbi Potasnik, you're on.
And Rabbi Greenberg has not forgiven me since that day. I hope he will one day. Thanks so much, Joyce. Obviously, today is a very, very important day in American history because it's Memorial Day. And I remember growing up in Massachusetts, I would go with my father and mother, who were survivors of the Holocaust. We would go to the local cemetery and there place little stones on the graves of those who served in the military. And I recall asking my dad, "Did you know this person?" He said, "No, but always keep in mind when you look at the military names, if they weren't there, we wouldn't be here." So for us, it was a religious holiday. We wouldn't do anything else but go to the cemetery that morning. Then there was a parade in the afternoon. But Memorial Day was a very, very major moment for us, especially in light of what my family endured. So I wish we would spend more time dedicated to Memorial Day. I think it's become a day off, a day of barbecue, a day of fun. But we ought to take a few moments, at least to recall those who gave so much so that we could have so much.
Absolutely.
And we're still fighting the battles here and across the world. Rabbi Potasnik, I know that you officiate at so many funerals. I know you just had one as late as Friday. You were going to be on our show, and we had a last-minute change given that. Every time you're at a funeral, does it seem like you go through all the agony with the family as well? No matter how many you go to, do you ever get hardened up to do that?
I hope not. I mean, I always think to myself how I felt and what they're going through. A loss creates an emotional void that never fully closes. And hopefully as time passes, you know, the pain is lessened and the beauty of the memory increases. But you always have to, you know, be very, very sensitive to those who are hurting so deeply and try to help them through it. So, no, you never want to be callous or, you know, completely detached from the moment. Obviously, when it's not a family member of yours, it's different, but you can still reach out and hug and hold someone who's hurting. And I think that's what we're there for. If you can offer some comforting words, that's good. You know, you look at Jewish tradition, you see the importance of the Shiva, because people need time to reflect upon all that they shared in the years together. I was telling a family recently, we cut a ribbon or we cut an article of clothing just before the service. Why do we do that? Because it symbolizes that the heart is torn, a loved one is taken away, and yet at the same time you recite a blessing for what you had. So I always try to impress upon families, yes, you know, God created a garden that has many thorns, but thorns are attached to roses, and I hope you can see the roses in spite of the hurtful thorns.
And Rabbi, for our non-Jewish friends and listeners, can you just tell them what a Shiva is?
Yeah, Shiva means seven, and there are 7 days of mourning. There are different periods of mourning, but the first 7 days are included in what is called the Shiva, where the community comes to spend time to visit and to express their condolences. I can tell you, in experiencing it myself and talking to others who have gone through the Shiva, it's very important for people to realize they're not alone during this difficult time. And it's a communal responsibility. The community would come together. They would shop, buy food, prepare food. They would make sure that this family had its needs fulfilled during this time. So it was a time to not be alone, not to isolate, but to be together. Because, you know, when you lose a loved one, you feel very much alone. How will I go on? Who's going to care about me when someone who was there for me all the time is no longer there? So I think the Shiva becomes a critical moment of solidarity, communal solidarity. And, you know, we've, today with all of the technology, I think we have lost the true importance of real community, face-to-face time, not just going online and friending people, but really having people who stand with us during this time. So the Shiva is something that I think is necessary rather than, you know, being reclusive, but it's a way of gradually returning to the community.
In Jewish religion, where the Shiva happens after the passing and the funeral, in Catholic and Christian tradition, they spend time prior to that with the wake and all of that, so it goes for about a week prior to all of that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously there are different traditions, and, you know, if I could just relay that to Memorial Day, isn't that what our people gave their lives so that we could live in real freedom, freedom to worship, freedom, you know, to express our thoughts in a way that is important to us without trampling the rights of someone else? So Memorial Day and all of the traditions we observe, I think, go together. Again, if they weren't there, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to keep the various important traditions that keep us together as a community, as a people, at the same time with full respect for other people.
I think it was said best in this Lee Greenwood song. I just want to say the one verse, and I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to me, and I'll proudly stand next to him, defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. So, Rabbi, why don't you bestow some blessings on our country? We're going through such amazing times, worrying about North Korea, worrying about Russia, worrying. What do you say to people that we should feel some sense of peace?
You know, the other day I was at a program which we remembered Rabbi Israel Mauschwitz, who's one of the great rabbis of yesterday's generation. And he was instrumental in having what is called the Tri-Faith Chapels at Kennedy Airport. When you go to Kennedy Airport, you will find there are different chapels there, one contiguous to the other. And I remember being with him when the Jewish chapel was constructed. And he said to me, isn't this an important message for all who travel? They walk by these various faith chapels and they recognize in order to travel safely in this world, we have to learn to travel together. And I would hope that even during these difficult times, we realize that we have friends, we have allies. There are people who stand with us, who support us, of different faith traditions. I think Rabbi Eric can tell you that the relationship today between Jews and Catholics and other faith traditions has never been better. We just met with Mormons recently. Rabbi Eric was there. A number of other rabbis were there, leaders of the Mormon community. And it was really a love fest. And we come, you know, from different places. We travel on different paths. And yet we recognize that there is one place, one path where we need to walk together. So I think that we also ought to reflect that those who gave their lives did so and were able to help us realize some of our dreams. It's not a perfect world, but my God, I think we have more pluses than minuses, and we ought to recognize the blessings in our lives. So when you know, ask people, when people ask you to bless them, try to get them to see the beauty around them. You know, the eyes are composed of two parts, it is said, the light and the dark, but you only see out of the dark. And even when life is difficult, if you truly look carefully, you can see the light and love that is all around. Sometimes that's more challenging, but I think when you step back a little bit and look around you, I think you'll find that we are truly fortunate to be in a country that recognizes that freedom belongs to all people. I was out in Queens the other day, Ericksburg. And walking out, I walked out with an imam, a rabbi, and a Christian minister, a Lutheran minister. You know, we were talking for a few moments, talking about things we enjoy together and things we look forward to doing together. And then we walked to our separate places. And I said, isn't this something that really warrants attention? I know if you pick up the paper, if all you do is you read the first few pages of any newspaper, it's depressing. Because all you read about is a divide. All you read about is how we are so contentious and combative. And yet, I saw in this moment the cooperation that exists in so many communities each and every day. We shouldn't take that for granted.
I don't think we should take anything for granted. And the irony of this quote from St. Augustine says, the purpose of all war is peace. Is that not ironic?
Well, you know, there's a statement in Jewish tradition that those who want peace have to prepare for war, that unfortunately there are those who want to destroy us. And, you know, we say that or Passover, and we've lived it over the years. In every generation, it seems there are those who want to finish us off. That's the accurate translation of the passage. They want to finish us, and therefore you have to be prepared. But, you know, we've come a long way here. Egypt, in the Haggadah, not exactly a friend. Egypt today, a friend. You look at former adversaries that have become allies, Germany and Israel today, Japan and America. I mean, we can go through the list. So we need to be cognizant of, you know, the alliances, the coalitions that we do have out there, not only on the, you know, the political arena, but also in the religious arena. Look who we are today in faith-to-faith relations. We've never been closer with the Catholic community than we are today. For a priest to speak in a synagogue, for a Mormon to come and be part of a Jewish program is not something that is surprising. It's become commonplace. So on this Memorial Day, let's reflect on what we have together not all of the pain that exists, although we should not ignore it, but let's think of the positive accomplishments that we've achieved over the years, because we stand on the shoulders of those who gave their lives.
I think that's extraordinary advice, is to focus on what's positive, to focus on what we have. And it's just really hard to do that now. Like you said, every headline, every paper, every news, you turn it on and it's something really, really negative. That advice is great. Now, how do you get people to actually do that?
Well, I think you have to remove yourself from, you know, that cocoon. If you only surround yourself with negative, you know, when you have friends, there are friends who are always critical of everything that goes on in life. I suggest that you seek out others who are much more optimistic about the affairs of the world. You know, I like to surround myself with people who smile, who extend a hand. Cardinal Dolan, who Rabbi Eric and I know very well, is really a very positive figure. When you meet him, he always is there with a kind word, with a compliment. And I said to him one day, you know, how are you able to do that? He said, well, nobody wants to hear grumpy guys all the time. Nobody wants to hear just these negative comments all the time. You know, we know the problems, but it takes, you know, all of us, you know, to really bring out the light of life, not just the darkness. So it's an effort, but it's an effort that's worthwhile. So don't just read the first two pages of the paper. Go beyond that.
Right.
And just look around. Look
right.
around. I mean, here we are today. We're three people who are talking about things that unite us. And we're not the only three in the world. Every day there are people who are involved in doing good deeds, who are involved in helping others. There are a lot of charities out there. I think of all of the people who get up. There's a group in Brooklyn gets up 4:30 in the morning to prepare kosher meals for people in hospitals because they realize that they're on a different diet than many of the others. So what do? They prepare food for them and for their roommates who may not even be Jewish because they want them to enjoy, you know, the same quality of food. So let's not ignore the caring, compassionate individuals who do much to build. You know, if you look at the statues in various countries and cities, and there are no statues for critics. They're always for authors. You get credit for what you write, for what you build, not for what you tear down.
You know, Rabbi Joe is 100% correct. There's a whole world of positive stories out there, inspiring stories. The one of the stories that's gone viral on the internet is the Muslim guy who climbed up. They're calling him the Muslim Spider-Man in France. Have you seen this? He climbed up. There was a toddler hanging over a balcony.
Yes.
Saw this, and he climbed. I mean, if you see it, he climbed up.
I did, this morning.
Like a spider. He climbed up and saved this kid, and now he's being celebrated in France, and they're thinking
yes.
and hoping that this is a positive message about the Muslim community in France. So, you know, there's all these wonderful, inspiring stories out there that we can
yeah,
look at.
Yeah, Rabbi Eric, I saw that twice. What I couldn't figure out, that the toddler was holding on, but they weren't clear, wasn't an adult anywhere in the room? Or how did the toddler manage to even hold on is what I can't figure out.
Yeah,
I watched it several times.
That you'll have to read, I guess, the fuller report. But just the idea that he saved, you know, a stranger came and saved this kid because he saw someone in trouble. I think that's what Rabbi Joe's talking about,
yeah.
is these inspiring stories out there.
Look, the vice president of one of the hospitals here in New York, Maimonides Hospital, recently made an appeal for blood. And Maimonides Hospital has many Jewish patients, and the person who needed this particular blood was a Jew. Well, members of the Muslim community nearby who frequent the hospital donated blood. It was their blood that helped very much to save the life of the Jew. So, again, I didn't see that story in any of the papers. So you're right, Joyce. You have to really you have to look very, very deeply to find them, but they are there. And I would hope that people make that effort, because otherwise it's very, very depressing. You know, if all you do is you hear all of these negative announcements and, you know, the gloom and doom, you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. You say, what for? If I'm only going to be subjected to pain, who wants it? And by the way, I'd carry that over into other areas of life. You know, we talk to our young kids today, you know, about anti-Semitism, about, you know, the attacks in Israel, and that's important for them to know. But if that's the sum and substance of Jewish life, I think they're going to say, well, why would I want to be Jewish? What's good about it? Rather than, you know, focusing on so many of the heralded accomplishments of so many people who have done so much for us. So we got to continue to emphasize positive, you know, somebody said positive Judaism, but I would go beyond Judaism. We need to emphasize that positive because otherwise life is, this is not the life that we want.
About that, back to that story with that young man saved the child, it is said that a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. And he did that. And we've heard so many of these heroic stories, the three young men on a train that got to take down someone who was trying to kill everyone on a train, three regular people. So you have to step outside the box and know that you too can find the strength to do something in some way to make a difference for people. Clinton said, there is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured with what is right in America. And that's what you're saying, Rabbi, focus on what is right.
You know, I look at the volunteers every year. We make an appeal for volunteers around Hanukkah and Christmas and Thanksgiving. The various holidays often require people to come and volunteer their services. Very often, there's an appeal made not to volunteer because we have so many coming forward. There are so many people who I think want to do good, want to help, and we need to be, you know, grateful to them for all of the goodness they bring into the world. Think of all the caretakers, the, you know, the support staff in so many places that they don't get the recognition that they deserve, but they're always there for people. I've been in hospices visiting people. When I meet members of the staff of the hospital, remember, they're with people who are dying. They're with them in the last chapter of life, and yet they are so positive in trying to make sure that whatever time is allotted to a person, that person will receive, you know, as much dignity as possible, that they're going to leave this world knowing that they were cared for in the most comprehensive fashion, that people were there to give it their all for them. They didn't write them off. Every moment counted. So, you know, maybe sometimes a visit to a hospital, maybe a visit to a shelter will remind people that there are many, many wonderful, wonderful people who in their own way are heroic. They don't seek all the plaudits, you know, and all the praise, but they certainly do a lot of positive things to make this a better place.
Absolutely. And I want to quote John Kennedy, let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we will pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty. And as Americans, that's something we take for granted for the most part. It's time to no longer take anything for granted and do what you can to make the world a better place, one person and one positive action at a time.
Well, you know, you receive postcards from people. I think, I'm not sure young people know what postcards are anymore. I don't know if they're writing anymore. But some of the postcards, especially when we have kids on the phone, they write all the nonsense. And then at the end, P.S., I love you. And I often thought, oh, my God, you waited a whole postcard to the very end to express the thought that should have been at the very beginning. And I think sometimes we wait too long to find out all the goodness that is all around us. You know, people travel off to these faraway places, and they all the beauty there. And then they come home and realize, you know what, there's a lot of beauty right here in my own home and my own community. Let me not lose sight of that. So Memorial Day is a time to reflect on what was, but also a time to look forward. I was talking with Rabbi Arnold Reznikoff yesterday, who served in the Navy. He's a Jewish chaplain, rank of captain, and he told me that he wrote, you know, he was in, where was it, in Lebanon, 1983, when there was that horrific bomb explosion killing 200 and I think 61 American soldiers. he wrote something, and Reagan, President Reagan, delivered those comments at a convention of evangelicals. And he thought to himself, my God, a president of the United States, who called, by the way, and asked for permission if he could read the speech. He said, I would be honored. But it was a president of the United States reading the comments of a rabbi at a convention of evangelicals. Now, you know, if that doesn't say much about this interfaith spirit, I don't know what says it better.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, it sounds like we lost you.
Yeah.
Say that again.
No, did you hear about the evangelical convention?
No.
Oh, I said that Rabbi Arnold Reznikoff, retired Navy chaplain, rank of captain, wrote something, his recollection of being in Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon, after the bombing of the barracks there, 1983, I think, 261 soldiers were killed, and it was somehow given to the White House, and President Reagan was so moved by his words that he asked the rabbi if he could deliver those comments at a convention of evangelicals. He wanted to bring them an inspiring message in spite of the horror. And the rabbi, of course, was honored, and he thought to himself, only in America you have a Christian president delivering the remarks of a rabbi to a convention of evangelicals.
Wow.
That's one of those defining moments, you know, about greatness in this country.
Yeah, the sound had gone up for
him. Rabbi
Reznikoff
became the right-hand man, the chief chaplain for General Wesley Clark.
Right.
For NATO, and the NATO commander.
Right, right. Joyce, I know that time is running. I wanted to just talk for a moment about the embassy in Jerusalem, because I know people who attended. And they said it was a very, very memorable, meaningful experience because all that was promised for many years by presidents, by members of Congress, had finally been realized. And so I think it's an opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for, you know, what this president has done, whether one likes him or doesn't like him, is secondary to what has been done here for the people of Israel. They've finally, officially, the United States is recognizing, you know, the capital of Israel in Jerusalem. That's something that we whispered about it, but we never spoke about it loudly. Now we can speak about it loudly. And one hopes that, you know, one day we'll be able to celebrate a capital for the Palestinian people, but that day doesn't seem to be in the near future. But at least for us, it was a time to really celebrate. And you had people there of all different faith communities coming. So the people of Israel, talking to Rabbi Yaakov Kermeyer, who lives down the street, and he said, imagine I wake up every day and I look out my window and I see the American embassy in Jerusalem. I never thought I would live to see that. So it's a celebratory moment, and we're very, very you know, appreciative of this accomplishment.
I agree. I reiterate what you said, whether you like Trump or dislike Trump. You have to give the devil its due, so to speak. That was so meaningful to me. I was so happy about that. It was extraordinary. And you're right. It was promised in our Constitution, approved by Congress decades ago, and no president acted on that resolution until Trump went ahead and did that. So as we're wrapping up this segment, John Kennedy said, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I add to that, ask what you can do for Israel and ask what you can do for our veterans. Three things very near and dear to my heart. So, Rabbi, what message do you want to leave our audience with?
Well, I think today, Memorial Day, we have spent some time talking about the sacrifice that people have made. We need to perpetuate their legacy. The word legacy comes from the word river. It's ongoing. We have a responsibility to them and to ourselves to promote freedom, to see to it that we can live in a society where people can engage in civil discourse, not the uncivil discourse that permeates too many places in our society, that we can really talk freely about what we believe and find resolution, you know, going back to Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, two people who are on different sides of the political divide and yet were able to forge an alliance. We need to forge those coalitions of cooperation, of communication. People need to talk to each other. Somebody once said, I'd rather discuss something without resolving it than resolve something without discussing it. And we need to emphasize discussion. And that's what Memorial Day also is about. Freedom of speech is important. It's imperative. If you live in a society that we can say whatever we want, believe whatever we want, and still remain, you know, members of one human family. So I think that's the hope for Memorial Day.
And I would like you to share with us your personal special prayer for America, for Israel, for all of us.
Joyce, Rabbi Greenberg, it is said that some people criticize God for placing thorns on roses, and others praise him for placing roses on thorns. I think on this day we are able to see both, the thorns, the pain of those who gave it all so we would have it all. And also to look at the privilege that we have in living in a country where we can walk together, separate paths for our houses of worship, separate paths for our beliefs, but at the same time walk together with full respect for one another. Let's hope that the message of Memorial Day is one that continues the day after Memorial Day and throughout our lives. This is a free country, and we need to protect those freedoms by living in such a way that we teach our children what real respect is for another human being. If we can do that, I think we will have memorialized those who sacrificed in the most fitting fashion. Have a great day.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Rabbi, for taking the time, your time, to be with us today. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every man is a hero to somebody. You are my hero. Not only are you always positive, but I've never spoken to you without laughing so hard. You have the best sense of humor, not only of any rabbi on the earth, but of anybody on the earth. God bless you, Rabbi Potashnik.
Well, thank you so much, and I thank my parents for giving that to me. All right. Well, bye.
And I want to thank you, Rabbi, for introducing me to Rabbi Eric Greenberg, who second only to Rabbi Joseph, but getting up the ladder quickly. Rabbi Eric, welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I always thank Joe for this, but it takes a long time to replace a Joe Potashnik, so it's a long way to go.
And before we have you get started here, I just want to share with you folks that every day we offer you special guests, special topics, each and every day, and you really should be listening, and here's why, in the words of our health guru and friend, Beverly Nadler.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy. Make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we invite you to participate in that endeavor with us. Simply go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. Right under my picture, it says follow. Simply by clicking on that, you'll know about every guest, every show, every topic. You need not concern yourself if you cannot join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can catch any show in our archives 24/7. And on the upper right, if you type in Rabbi Eric Greenberg, the shows he participated in, they will all come up. Same for Rabbi Joe Potasnik and any guest. Type in the topic or the guest, and they will all come up. I want to ask you first, Rabbi Eric, about Synagogue Connect. Is that a Reform synagogue or an Orthodox synagogue? Hello? Oh, dear. What happened?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Now I can. I didn't before.
Oh, okay. So I was speaking to God.
Okay. I don't mind coming in next.
That's right. You're right up there. You're right up there, Joyce. Synagogue Connect, thank you for asking, is an organization and a project. Fascinating. It's fairly new, and it's basically a worldwide project to provide a means for young Jewish adults from 18 to 26 to connect with their local synagogues around the world. If they move to a new location, if they're in graduate school or college or not even, you know, looking for a place to have a home and pray, and certainly for the high holidays to have a ticket provided for them and a welcoming free ticket provided for them, that's what Synagogue Connect does. We have 1,000 synagogues of all denominations signed up as our affiliates, and anyone who's interested in finding a synagogue in their neighborhood, in their city, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, Chabad, Humanist, and any flavor of Jewish tradition, they can go to synagogueconnect.com. And all they have to do is click on put in the city they want, and the affiliated synagogues will pop up, and then they can sign up for a free holiday, high holiday ticket.
Oh, my goodness, that is awesome. When you mentioned it, Synagogue Connect, I was hearing it like that is your synagogue where you're the rabbi. This is such an extraordinary resource. I'll be sure to let people know about it.
Oh, that'd be great. And
Connect.com.
SynagogueConnect.com. And as we get closer to the high holidays, Joyce, we'd appreciate actually talking about it a little more, because this is incredible work Rabbi Joseph Potasnik does in bringing together all the denominations of Judaism to work together for the better of our communities and our nation and the world. The Synagogue Connect brings together all the denominations who sign up and will provide for young Jewish adults a place to go for the high holidays. So it's great.
When you had told me the name, I had asked you to repeat it a few times, so I thought it was your synagogue, and I was thinking, wow, that doesn't sound like any name of any synagogue I ever heard of. So
right,
that's
right.
Why I'm so glad I came back to it, because I want to do a whole show on what that offers.
Terrific. That'd be great. I think last year we reached 250,000 people, and this year we're hoping for, obviously, to increase that. We have signed up another 300-400 synagogues around the world, including Poland and Israel and Argentina, and we have hundreds and hundreds, more than 700 in the United States. So we're moving. We're moving.
And you are the director of that?
I'm the director of public affairs, and my colleagues, Rabbi Brown and Rabbi Klein, one Reform rabbi, one conservative rabbi, and of course we have Orthodox rabbis involved. So this is a wonderful project that we hope will reconnect in some cases, or connect for the first time in others, young Jewish adults, to provide them with a place to go for the high holidays.
And you had said something, if they go on that website, something about a free ticket. for the holidays? Is that for people in need?
Well, it's for young Jewish adults who are looking for a synagogue to go to for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These are the two major, you know, holidays throughout the Jewish year cycle, and they are provided with a free ticket by these synagogues who have agreed to do so.
I love it. I promise a whole show on that. We'll schedule a date after the weekend. Just while we're talking about resources, and then I'll come back to you what your input is on Memorial Day and support of Israel and veterans. I just want to give a couple of resources for veterans. The Paralyzed Veterans of America, the number for that is 800-555-9140, 800-555-9140. The website is supportveterans.org. That organization is where I get all my mailing labels from. They're absolutely beautiful. I get them every few weeks and I send in a contribution. And what you send in is entirely up to you. But the labels are so beautiful. I used to order them, but now I only get them from Paralyzed Vets because they're amazing. So that's one resource. Another resource is our friend Len Kane, GoldenRuleSociety.org. Len Kane is a four-time nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize. Four different years he was nominated. And his organization, Golden Rule Society, in that there's tons of free stuff for people to help people worldwide, and he does tremendous amounts of work for veterans. He is a veteran himself. And one more, a national referral number, Vet Assist Program. Their motto is We Change Lives, 888-314-6075. Literally, I heard about that one this morning, Vet Assist Program. So I love to give resources to really support people. We don't just talk about things. We pave the way, as they say in ACT, the acronym, Action Changes Things. So, folks, you too go into action. You can make a difference. You can pay it forward. And on Memorial Day, what a time to reflect of what you can do to honor all those who died for this country. And I know it's an American holiday, but Israel is so near and dear to my heart that I'm adding and who gave so much to keep Israel in existence. Okay, Rabbi Eric, go.
Yes, ma'am. So, you know, Rabbi Joe was so good at talking about the importance of memory and the importance of this Memorial Day. I think it's so important to remember where it comes from and the origins of this day. And how in Jewish tradition we memorialize and we remember. It's good to remember that Memorial Day here. By the way, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but it wasn't called Memorial Day years ago. Do you remember what the original name was?
No.
It was called Decoration Day. It was called Decoration Day, and it's only been an official federal holiday for a few decades. I believe it's 1971, and so you know to think that this is something we've been doing, you know, since the beginning of our country, that's not really the case, and it's good to know these things because the way we're working today with the divisions and the acrimony and the adversarialness, you know, there was a lot of argument over Memorial Day too, or Decoration Day, of whether it should be a national holiday and who actually started it. And by the way, it also was started after the Civil War, and so there were in the South they were memorializing, you know, the Confederate soldiers, while in the North, obviously, the Union soldiers. So, you know, this kind of came out of a war that the worst, you know, war in American history, and it wasn't until 1966 that the federal government actually made it into a federal holiday. So, you know, it's good to know that things evolve and change, and from out of the Civil War came this day, that Decoration Day, and now we call it Memorial Day. And it's such an opportunity for us as Americans to come together and you know, give our condolences to the families, of course, who lost someone who was fighting to protect our freedoms, and of course to come together as Americans. We don't have enough of that. I think you will agree. We need more opportunities for Americans to stand up and show our unity rather than our divisiveness.
Absolutely. And you're right about understanding the background and all of that. I just, at the moment, I couldn't think of Declaration Day, but I do know it started as an event to honor the Union soldiers who died during the American Civil War, and then
right.
was inspired by the way people in the southern states honored their dead. After World War I, it was extended to include all men and women who died in any war or military action. And one thing of note that people may not really know, when they get confused between Memorial Day and the other one.
Veterans Day?
Pardon me?
Veterans Day?
Veterans Day, yeah. I'm having one of those moments.
That's
Veterans
okay.
Day, which is to honor veterans that are alive or dead, but memorial specifically for those who passed, veterans for all vets. It's to honor them, and I think both are highly significant.
Right, right. But, you know, we talk about, as Rabbi Joe had alluded to, Jewish tradition and how in the Jewish religion, we memorialize, and we after someone dies, he had talked about Shiva. But you know, it is also after the 7 days of mourning, when the community comes together to support you know, those who have just lost a loved one. There's also other periods. There's a 30-day period that marks the 30th day after Shloshim, the 30th day after a death of a loved one. And then it goes on to the year, the rest of the year. And in each of these phases, the Judaism, you start off with the intense 7 days, and it lessens a little bit for the 30 days. And then there's a whole year of refraining from doing certain things to remember your loved one, and so but you slowly, gradually try to get back into the swing of your life, and I think that's really important because these are markers that we can all observe. And the way they observe Memorial Day in Israel, as you had pointed out earlier, you talked about Israel, the whole country stops and remembers. And wouldn't that be something if we had something like that in the United States, where on Memorial Day, the whole country at noon or some time that's chosen would just stop for a moment of silence for all those who died defending the United States? What
well,
do you think?
I had read somewhere that a moment of remembrance takes place at 3 o'clock local time. So I have to see, it's not publicized very much, but I had seen that somewhere that the tradition is to visit the cemeteries, to place flags on each grave at national cemeteries. But now I'm going to have to look into that, since you're so wise and knowing, and that didn't resonate with you, that I had heard that somewhere.
Right. No. Well, it could be a local thing. I'm talking about the whole. Remember, in Israel, the whole country comes to a stop, and the sirens go off, and there's a minute of whatever anyone's doing in Israel, in the whole country of Israel, people stop to remember the fallen, to memorialize those who died defending the nation, and so. Wouldn't it be something to have the whole country of America
agree? That's
time?
Awesome. You're right. It might just be a local tradition somewhere, because I had heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
What is most special to you about this time?
Well, you know, as you said, there's Veterans Day, which is devoted to our veterans, but you can't help but think about the veterans today as well. And you know, this is a time when we really do need to come together of people of all faiths, as Rabbi Joe had talked about before. We had been in a meeting a few weeks ago with Mormon leaders, and out of this wonderful meeting of sharing our commonalities, look, there's a lot of differences between the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Jewish religion. We could spend hours and days talking about the differences that we have in the way we, you know, view God and you know, all kinds of different observances and rituals. But instead we sat and talked about what can we do together, what brings us together, and how can we help our communities and humanity. And that's what we focused on, and that's what's on a day like today, when we should focus on those who have fallen and what they were fighting for. That's what's important. They were fighting for our freedoms, and we as Americans have to spend more time thinking about what are our freedoms. I agree with you, Joyce, what you said earlier, that we're not taught in school anymore in civics classes what is the Constitution, what are the Bill of Rights. I would say that I would hate to see a survey of students today, of high school students, knowing can they tell us what any of the Bill of Rights and what the Constitution is all about.
I agree with you. They are much more apt to tell you about Facebook and Instagram.
Right,
that
right.
They're experts in. I so agree with you.
So another way to bring our country together, besides a moment of silence across the country, right, on Memorial Day, put your shopping, even, you know, your barbecue, but you can take 1 or 2 minutes out, and everyone get up and stand and be silent, and have, like they do in Israel, maybe the local fire department has the horn blaring or something to recognize we are all one country. Wouldn't it be something, say, on July 4th, if we all came together and someone, the president or a noted personality, got up and recited the Bill of Rights to the whole country? And everyone either, you know, watched on television, for instance, like we used to, all together. Wouldn't that be something to bring everyone
yes,
together?
Yes, and I just access where I got that information about the 3 o'clock time. I don't make things up. And I don't have alternative facts. I have facts.
Wait, you don't make things up. That's great. That's very good
right.
to hear.
So I have where I got that information. It was from President Obama, his Memorial Day proclamation. Quote, "Now therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim Memorial Day, May 27, 2013, as a day of prayer for permanent peace, and I designate the hour beginning in each locality at 11 a.m. of that day as a time to unite in prayer. I also ask all Americans to observe the national moment of remembrance beginning at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day," and that's officially documented in a White House blog.
Wow. So apparently, though, we haven't really taken this to heart.
Correct. Nor do we know about it. It's a very well-kept secret. So I think if I learn from you every time we talk, so if you learn this from me, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I've learned this from you. Now all we have to do is get this moving. I say that's great. 3 o'clock on Memorial Day, the whole country comes together. Yeah.
Yes, for prayer. And I love that he says for prayer in every locality, 3 o'clock local time on Memorial Day. So we have a few hours yet on Eastern time. Again, we are live around the world. But I knew when you said it, I had heard that somewhere. So, that is awesome. And I totally agree. What a way to remember.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I have to tell you, share with you again with Rabbi Joe always opens the door and starts people thinking, starts me thinking at least. I was in Poland last month for the 75th anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. And think about this, 75 years later, after the murder of Jews, with the complicity of all those in those areas that either failed to stand up to the Nazis or conspired with them and colluded, if I might, with them. Here was a memorial in Warsaw at the very place where the ghetto, where there were so many historic events. I was with a Catholic bishop, a Protestant minister, and an Eastern Orthodox priest sitting with them, and they got up and said the memorial prayer with the chief rabbi of Poland. What an incredible scene. It didn't get a lot of publicity. I don't know, I was there. I don't know if you saw it at all. Did you even hear about it here in the States?
No.
But here's, as Joe was saying earlier, and you, the positive messages and visuals that we can take to show that, yes, there are positive things that we can focus on. This could never have happened 75 years ago or 50 years ago, but here were these leaders of other religious groups standing and reciting a memorial prayer for all those Jews who were murdered and killed in the Warsaw Ghetto by the Nazis. It's such a striking visual. You would never forget it. And I was privileged to be there and participate in this memorial. And it does. Here we are on Memorial Day. Memory is so important. But the evolution of humanity and perhaps learning more about each other and understanding and respect among faith groups is something that really is a positive turn in our society, and there's so much more to do, and we need to keep going to do it.
Agreed. I want to go back for a moment to that Synagogue Connect. There's an example that, how do you get the word out on that? Because that's such an amazing thing. Just like we're talking about, there's so much to take advantage of, so many ways to support others that people just don't know about. I recall seeing your bio when I was introduced to you, about 3 pages, single space. I don't recall seeing that, it would have made an impression. So I just wonder, how new is that?
Oh, it's very new. It's been evolving and growing over the last couple of years, and it's such a great project. Yes, you've hit it on the head. How do you get the word out on it? We are trying our best, and as you and I will talk as we get closer to the high holidays, the Jewish high holidays, which are in September, we will want to get the word out on it. Like I said last year, the way to reach young people today is not to put an ad in a newspaper, because a lot of people don't read, and young people don't read a newspaper, but it's on social media and word of mouth and through their organizations. And by the way, word of mouth through radio, right? Through people like you and through people, relatives who want to make sure that their, graduate school son or daughter who just moved to Chicago or Miami or Idaho, wherever, they may not know the local Jewish community, and they may want to have an easy way to connect with them, thus Synagogue Connect.
Yeah, and I use that to make the point about the 3 o'clock time. There's so much out there. I'm always learning. I'm always reading. I'm always hearing the news. I learn from everybody. I really believe you can learn from a 2-year-old. You can learn from a 98-year-old and everyone in between. So,
right.
Rabbi, what message do you want to leave our audience with today? Time flies when you're having fun. All of a sudden, lo and behold, our time is just about up.
Wow, look at this. Okay, well, you're right, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you and be with Rabbi Joe and you to discuss issues of national and international importance. My message on Memorial Day, obviously, is memory, and it's so important. Let us remember those who have fallen. Let us remember the families of those brave men and women who fought and died to keep our freedoms in this country, and let us cherish those freedoms and let no one take them away from us.
Amen on that message. Now, what is your special personal prayer?
Well, I think the prayer will be devoted to everyone, and it really is about asking God for true and lasting peace so that we don't have to have more remembrances of more of those who died to defend our country. So let's ask God for peace for our people, for America, for Israel, and for all those who dwell on this earth. And let us ask that this be bestowed upon us in every season and at all times. Amen.
Amen. And here, folks, is my special prayer for all of you. But just before stating that, I want to thank you, Rabbi Greenberg. I'm always grateful when you're on our show. It is such a blessing. I'm always grateful to talk to you, but it gets increasingly difficult with all your many projects, albeit how worthwhile they are. So here is my special prayer. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. So, folks, we do pray for all of you and those who have passed before us all. They will be forever in our hearts. And folks, go out and make someone happy today. We want to make you happy every day. So join with us, sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us to the Joyce Barry Mesh. And God bless you all.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
do the Joyce Berry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Berry and Friends.